Now this Arizal is a very, very powerful Arizal. I want to tell you what he says. It's difficult to understand it psychologically and spiritually. Together with this chapter of Tanya, we could have a better appreciation of what the Arizal says and apply it to our own lives. The Arizal says it all goes back to the beginning of history, which the Arizal always does. Kabbalah particularly sees the whole of history as one unified, one comprehensive unit. And like many other events, it goes back to the first two brothers, Cain and Hevel. Cain in Kabbalah represents Gevura. Hevel represents Chesed. We know the tragedy. Cain kills Hevel. Cain's descendants ultimately do not survive. Hevel is the one from where our civilization was built. From whom our civilization was built. Zogda Arizal, Koyanim are Chesed. They're connected to Hevel's soul. Levi'im Agvur, they're connected to Cain's soul. Who was the older brother? Cain. He was the Pchar. We all know that the Pchairim were supposed to be Koyanim. The oldest members of each family, they were supposed to be Koyanim. It's just, that's why Yaakov bought the birthright from Esav. It's just that because of them messing up later in history, it was taken from them and given to the tribe of Levi. Given to the tribe of Levi. So Cain was supposed to be the Kohen, but at the end it was taken away from him, like it was taken away from all the Pchayrim, it was also taken away from him, and it was given to the younger brother, Hevel. So the actual Kohanim today belong to Hevel, and the Leviim belong to Cain. When Cain kills his brother Hevel, which is one of the most heinous crimes in history and the source of so many other crimes, and he repents, Hashem tells Cain, Haloyim Seitiv Se'es, in Parshas Bereishis, which literally means if you enhance your ways, you become a better person. What does Se'es mean? You'll be forgiven. You'll be tolerated. The Arizal says, Haloyim Seitiv, if you will really become good Se'es, you will become superior and more exalted than the spiritual personality of your brother. Se'es, you'll become even higher. Moshe meets Aaron when he comes back from Midian. When he comes back from Midian to Egypt, Aaron is the older brother. Moshe is the younger brother. Hashem tells Moshe, "Haloi Aaron achicha halevi. Aaron, your brother, the Levi, will meet you." Aaron is the older brother, and he's called in the Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, the Gemara says, had the status of a kohen, but then it was switched around. Aaron, who's the Levi, became the Kayan. Moshe was not a Kayan anymore. Once the tabernacle was established, Moshe served as a Levi. He wasn't a Kayan. Switched around. Aaron used to be the Levi, and Moshe the Kayan, and then it switched around. What happens here? What happens? Zogda Arizal, Yecheskel, who was a Kayan, his soul was connected to Kayan's soul. And Yecheskel is the personality who fixed up a lot of Cain's errors and mistakes. And thus he's a Cain. And thus Yecheskel is the one who prophesizes what is going to happen when the world gets fixed and the world gets sublimated, when Cain will return to his true identity. Then Cain becomes the Cain and Hevel becomes the Levi. The Leviim of today become the Kayanim, and the Kayanim of today become the Leviim. Cain is returned to his true original source, and therefore he, Taka, becomes the Kayan. And since Yecheskel is the only prophet who prophesied about the temple service in the future, he's the one who says, HaKayanim HaLeviim, because in the future, the Kayanim will be the Leviim. HaKayanim HaLeviim, the Arizal says. The Leviim, they're going to be the Kayanim. The Kayanim are not going to be the Leviim. Interestingly, parenthetically, the Alter Rebbe's terminology is quite telling. The Alter Rebbe says, "Halavim shall achshav yiyu koyanim la'asid." Levim of today will be koyanim in the future. The Arizal doesn't use these words. What does the Alter Rebbe mean? The Levim of the future won't be Levim, won't be koyanim. What does it mean? The Levim of today will be koyanim then. He could say the Levim will be koyanim. What about the Levim of then? They will not be koyanim. Only the Levim now will be koyanim. What about the Levim when Mashiach comes? Those Levim that are born, they won't be koyanim. So the Rebbe, in a footnote on Tanya, explains, no, they won't be Kayanim. The Alter Rebbe means that the Levim of today will be Kayanim. What the Alter Rebbe means is he wants to explain to us what the Arizal is saying. Apparently, we would think, what is the Arizal saying? That when Mashiach comes, the roles are going to change. The Levium will do what the Kayanim are doing now, or did in the Beis HaMikdash in the past, and the Kayanim will start doing what the Levium did. The Levium will start offering the offerings, the Kayanim will start singing. But Alter Rebbe can't interpret the Arizal that way. You know why? Because this would contradict one of the 13 principles of Yiddishkeit, and that is that Halacha is unchangeable. HaTorah HaZo Leitei Mechlefes, Torah will not be changed. Halacha, Jewish law, is eternal. According to this, Halacha is changing. In Chumash, it says there are certain halachas that are applicable to Kayanim and not to Levim. And when Mashiach comes, this law is going to change. And we have a principle, an axiom in the Jewish tradition that the Torah is eternal. Laws, halacha is eternal. It's never going to change. There can be a temporary change through a prophet, but not an eternal change. So here you'll see what the Alter Rebbe is saying. His words are meticulous. The Alter Rebbe is saying something else. The Levim of today, their souls, when Mashiach comes, will be born into Kohenite families. The souls of the Levim today, they will be born to fathers who are Kayanim. And therefore they'll be Kayanim. Even though their souls are really from the level of Gvura, and from the level of Zav, and they're supposed to be born into the family of Levim, these souls of Gvura will be born into the family of Kayanim. It's possible their fathers who are Kayanim will also have the souls of Levim. And the Kayanim of today, their souls will be born to Levite families. But the Kayanim will be Kayanim, and Levim will be Levim. Who will be the Kayanim? They will have the quality of Levi. They will have the soul of Levi. Not that the halacha is going to change. The reality is going to change. Reality could change. Halacha doesn't change. Reality could change. Nature could change. Now, but what is the meaning behind this? What is Dr. Rebbe trying to tell us? So briefly, it's late. Dr. Rebbe explains, based on the explanation in this chapter, it becomes clearer, combined with an explanation of the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Torah, particularly in the parasha of Korach. We all know that Korach rebelled against Moshe, primarily against Aaron. Madua tisnasu al ka'al Hashem. Why are you superior to the rest of the community? In fact, Korach, who was from the tribe of Levi, he wanted to be the high priest. And we all know what happened at the end. The result of this mutiny, that Korach was swallowed up by the earth, v'yardu chayim sha'ila, alive, they went down into the depth of the earth. And this affirmed the position of Aaron. It says in Kabbalah, in Emek HaMelech, that the pasuk in Tehillim, tzaddik katomer yifrach, a tzaddik is going to sprout like a cedar, like a palm tree, like a date tree. Look at the final letters of these three words. Tzadik, katomor, yifrach, koirach. Tzadik is kuf, katomor is resh, it ends with a resh, yifrach is ches, koirach. The Tzemach Tzedek asks, based on what he heard from the Alter Rebbe, what's going on? The future prophecy is that a tzadik is going to sprout from the earth like a palm tree. This is koirach. But Alter Rebbe explains that Korach's rebellion wasn't just a mundane, brute mutiny that came from a lowly, despicable, egotistical, jealous rabble-rouser who just despised truth and genuine leaders and just wanted to make trouble. and create havoc. No, no. Korach was actually a Mashiach Jew. He just did it a little too early. Korach knew what the Arizal says. It's HaKayanim HaLevim. The Levim belong in the shoes of Kayanim. Kayan is supposed to be the Kayan. We're from Kayan. Kayan is supposed to be superior. The problem is, the Alter Rebbe says, Ha'olam Tisala, the world is not ready for it. And if you become the Kayan now, if you're elevated to the leadership position, if your reality takes primacy over the present Kayan, it will destroy instead of build. It will be destructive instead of constructive. The world has to become refined, purified, sublimated. Then Kayan can emerge in his true splendor. Till then you're creating havoc. And what type of havoc you're creating? The Yardu Chayim Sha'ela. You'll be slept down to the lowly depth of the earth. Now what does this mean? The same is true that Arizal says about something else. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there are different types of arguments. There are arguments that are for the sake of heaven, not for the sake of heaven. These arguments endure, these arguments don't endure. The Gemara says, what is an argument that soifel is skayim, that endures, is the argument of Hillel and Shammai. What does it mean it endures? So there's the homiletic anecdote that arguments that are for the sake of heaven, these arguments endure forever. They're the worst. You know, if it's an argument about money or about ego, it's all right. You write a check and you deal with the fight. But fights that are idealistic, those are the worst. That's the homiletical interpretation. But the Mishnah is trying to bring out the virtue of heavenly, of idealistic arguments. Soifel is kayim. So the commentators explain that both opinions hold ground. Both opinions are true. Both opinions endure. Even the opinion that's wrong halachically still has virtue to it. But Arizal says, and Alter Rebbe explains, that means it endures. So he says that when Mashiach comes, the halach is going to be like Bishamai. Now the verdict was established in Talmudic times like the house of Hillel in most cases. When Mashiach comes, the verdict will be established like the house of Shammai, which argued many, many halachic scenarios with Hillel, and halacha will be like Shammai. Shammai represents Kayin, represents Korach, represents Gvura. Even in the name, Shammai is assessment, Hashem. Hillel, also the name, which means brightness, represents Chesed. That's why Beis Hillel was very lenient. Beis Shammai was very stringent in most of their arguments. Beis Hillel embraced and Beis Shammai rejected. Even in the famous story of the convert who came and wanted to learn the whole Torah while he's standing on one leg, Shammai chased him, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, and Hillel embraced him. It represents two qualities. Now the law is like Beis Hillel. When Mashiach comes, we'll be able to deal with Beis Shammai. So you're asking Beis Shammai also, what about the halacha will change? It's different. Because the halacha is, the Rebbe explains this in the footnote, the halacha is that a Beis Din, a Jewish Supreme Court that is greater than a previous Supreme Court, can argue with its verdict. Why did we create a verdict like Hillel? Because the system that Hashem established through Moshe on Sinai was Acherei Rabim Lahatis, Jewish courts have the ability to create halachic verdicts based on the majority. If we wouldn't have a Mashiach comes, the Supreme Court will argue with the verdict of the old courts in Talmudic times and will reestablish halacha. That we have no problem with. That's not changing the eternity of halacha. A greater court may argue with a verdict of a previous court if it's superior in status. There's one more issue where you can ask the question, and that is the famous idea that's brought in many books, Asid Chazir L'Tayr. A swine is going to become kosher when Mashiach comes. So the Chassam Sofer asks this question in Torah Moshe Parshas Shemini, and he says, no, that when Mashiach comes, the pig will begin chewing its cud. It's not a change of halacha. The halacha says, since a swine doesn't chew its cud, it only has split hooves, it's treif. If reality changes, it's not a change in halacha, the reality changed. So a swine is not treif anymore. It's not a change in halacha. Yeah, that's why some Jews are waiting for Mashiach for that.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm scared that when the swine starts chewing the cud, it's not going to be ham anymore. It's not going to have the same, you know, the same Reichkeit. Kosher bacon and eggs, $7.50. That doesn't mean it's kosher. The fact that Torah mentions an animal doesn't mean it's kosher.
Right,
Torah mentions Nimrod and Parai and Haman, and they were not kosher.
Right, it mentions it's non-kosher. So how will it be? How will it be that?
No, that's not a halacha. It's not a halacha. Torah is telling a story. That could change. Torah also says that the Red Sea split. The Red Sea is split now. You understand what I'm telling you? Torah is allowed to tell a story that doesn't exist today. Halachas are laws. They're how we react to reality, how we behave. That's a different. You could check up the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. The final chapters elaborates on this principle at length. He explains what it means exactly. But this is a foundation. A lot of people argued with the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Albo, the author of the Ikarim and other philosophers, believe that it's not an essential principle in the Jewish religion. But the Rambam, and it has been accepted by most sages and Jewish rabbis and scholars, also in the Kabbalistic school, that the Rambam's principle is a genuine one, an absolute one. But Rabbi Yosef Alboy argues. Just a footnote. Okay, now I just want to complete. Yes.
How can a base dinner or a Sanhedrin future go against one from the past if each generation is going down, down, down?
That's the problem. When Mashiach comes, you're not going to have that problem. When the generation goes down and the digresses, you're not going to find a Beis Din that is competent to argue with a previous one. When Mashiach comes, we will have quite a distinguished Sanhedrin, quite a distinguished Supreme Court. This is also discussed in Halacha. What are the qualities, what's the criteria for a Beis Din to argue with another Beis Din? But not for now, it's also a complicated discussion. The Rambam deals with it in Hilchis Mamrim, in the book of Shoftim. You could look it up there and in the commentators there. But I want to culminate the idea here. What does the word Koirach mean in Hebrew? Do anybody know? Kuf Reish Ches has a meaning.
Ice.
Huh? Ice, what else?
Baldness.
Baldness. Baldness. Huh? Hakarchi. Akiva Hakarchi, you say. Yeah. Why? He was bald. Right. So Taka Rabbi Akiva is named that way in the Gemara because of baldness. And in fact, this, the Alter Rebbe explains elsewhere, reflects the true identity of what we're talking about. In addition, we know that in the desert there was a commandment that the Levium have to remove their hair. The Levium, not the Kayanim. Which tells us something about what is going on about the Levium and what is their true essence. Here we have the paradox of the Levi, where really he is on a much higher level than the Kohen. He has attained a much deeper spirituality. But because of that depth, he must remain an assistant to the Kohen till the world is ready for him. And this is what Alter Rebbe is saying. Now, what does this mean? So, the Arizal doesn't explain this in psychological terms relevant to us, but now I think we can begin to understand it. What is the difference of the love of the Kohen and the love of the Levi? The love of the Kohen is self-affirming. The love of the Levi is self-nullifying, it's self-abnegating. The Kohen relates to the godliness, the Kohen represents the Jew who explores the godliness that is at the root of his soul. He celebrates that godliness. He enhances himself with that godliness. He redefines himself based on that godliness. The Levi represents the Jew who does not do that, who appreciates the fact that kula kamei keloi chashev, that in the presence of Hashem's intimacy, there is absolutely nothing else. Everything melts away and is reduced to sheer nothingness in the presence of Hashem's true intimacy, like one tiny thought, one minuscule thought, vis-a-vis your entire life and your entire personality. And therefore reality is the oneness and the unity of Hashem. He Here is, however, the problem. Let's practicalize this experience. Did I just make up a word? Let's concretize this experience. A Jew during davening, which is always the conducive time to meditate and therefore to develop this flame. Even a Jew during davening who develops this quality, and during davening he really feels this love and he really feels a yearning to totally, totally nullify himself in the presence of Hashem. He becomes thirsty. He becomes sick. He really wants to dissipate. He wants that in his life there should be nothing but the absolute unity of godliness. I don't want to find myself. I want to lose myself. I don't want to love. I don't want to be. I don't want to experience. I want to be you. I want to become part of Hashem's total unity. As long as he's there, awesome. It's truth. This is truth. He touched on the core of truth. Great. But what happens after davening? When he comes back down, so to speak, and he confronts the real world. Here, very often, he can become totally detached from godliness. And he can totally succumb to the lure of physicality. Because he did not create a bridge from transcendental absolute godliness to a lowly, crude material world. The Kayan found godliness within the world. So he has the tools, the instruments through which to spiritualize the world. The Levi found godliness in nullifying the world. He touched a much truer truth. But if he's not there all the time, if he doesn't have Klois HaNefesh and he comes back, he can actually succumb to corruption. When you escape the self and you fail to return, you leave behind a vacuum. Negative elements can take root in the Levi's life like weeds in an abandoned garden. What happens is, he allows the lowly part of himself not to be cultivated with spirituality, and weeds can take root there. The Kayan brought godliness within the lowly part. He permeated his lowly parts with godliness. He dealt with his animal soul. He didn't deny the self. He showed that godliness is my true self. The Levi transcended. So if he would have transcended and taken the whole world with him, great. But you didn't take the whole world with you. So what happens to everything that remained behind? There's no bridge connected between the connecting that absolute unity of Hashem and those physical elements of your life. And this is what can happen extremely often in a person's life, in your asceticism. You melt away totally, but then when you come back to the real world and the intoxication dissipates, you have no tools to which to connect. And you can easily succumb to corruption. All the negative elements can take root.
Isn't a matter for a human being, as far as progressing to the state that you're talking about, it's a kind of step by step. If a person were to really, shall we say, have that unified feeling of really oneness for Hashem at a fast pace, his nervous system could be messed up.
That's true. That's 100% true.
Did you have that by the time the ego, like flying short on such a high level?
Similar, yeah. So Kairach comes and says, the Levi is much higher than the Kayin, Gevurah is higher than Chesed. What is Chesed? Chesed is self-affirming. Chesed is self-embracing. Chesed, I find myself. Gevurah, I reject myself. Gevurah, I ascend. Gevurah, I reject the world. I'm much higher than a Levi, is much higher than a Kayin. Madua tisnasu. And you know how Kairach expresses himself. What was Kairach's complaint? Talis shakula tcheles chayeves b'tzitzis or not? A talis, that the entire talis is made out of the special blue, the wool that's dyed with the blue tcheles, with the color blue tcheles. Does that need those fringes of tcheles that come out of it? So Moshe said yes. So Kairach scoffed. You have a whole talus that's full of tcheles. You need a couple of strings that should also be tcheles. You have a whole home that's full of Torah. You need a mezuzah. What is that? If I have a talus to call it tcheles, I get swallowed up in the infinite expression of godliness. I need those tzitzis. I need those little tiny rays of light, those little tiny contracted fringes to bring godliness into a physical world. It's contracted. What is it? Tzitzis. I have a talus. I have an all-encompassing garment. I need a mezuzah on my doorpost. I need here, kerach. Here, what is here? Here represents, here nourishes its energy from the skull. The skull represents in Kabbalah Keser. The whiteness of the skull, Kerach says, that's the way to go. Go to the source. This is little, what type of energy is communicated through here? Garnished, nothing. On one hand, here is alive. Here has soul in it. But cut you here, you don't even feel pain, which means it's such a contracted level of cell, of soul, that it's almost minuscule. It's infinitesimal. It's not even felt. Kayach says that's the Kayan. That's what the Kayan relates to. He relates to that godliness. The godliness that invigorates the world. What is it? It's a here. We want straight from the skull. We want the boldness. That's what Kayach says. This is a sophisticated idea. It's a Mashiachic idea. But Kayach made a bad error. And this is the level of the soul of Kayan. Gvura. Gvura is much higher than chesed. But the world is not a vessel for it. If you allow Gvura now to be superior to chesed, it will breed corruption, even though it's spiritually higher. Let's take it in relationships. There's Shammai and there's Hillel. Shammai is higher than Hillel. Shammai says pure idealism. What's the problem with pure idealism? Pure idealism never compromises. Pure idealism doesn't tolerate weaknesses. So in a Mashiachic world, pure idealism is the way to go. But in an incomplete world, pure idealism will leave in its aftermath people who have been destroyed, people who are not vessels for idealism, and they're abandoned, they're broken. They need to be tended to through contracting your ideals to their needs, to be tailor-made, not emes, but chesed. It's not that Hillel, God forbid, says you're allowed to be politically correct and you could bend the truth. But in truth itself, there's the truth of the Kayan and there's the truth of the Levi. It's two levels in truth. It's what we call the lower level of unity and the higher level of unity. When Mashiach comes, Shammai is the way to go. I'll clarify it with a story to conclude. When the Alter Rebbe came to Mizritch, to his Rebbe, the Mizritcher Maggid, once when he was about to go home, his close friend, whom I discussed at length last week, Rabbi Avram, the angel, Rabbi Avram HaMalach, came to accompany him. So the Alter Rebbe is in the coach, and the coachman whips the horses ready to go. And the horses are apparently not in the mood of going. So the coachman gets off the wagon to start seeing what is examining the horses and what is going on in their own life, so to speak. So the Avram HaMalach turns to the Alter Rebbe and he shouts, he says, "Far, far, kuknisht of the ferd. Go, go, don't look at the horses. Stop examining the horses." And the Alter Rebbe said that at that moment he received a new path in serving Hashem. What Avram literally meant is just whip and travel and don't start examining the horses. Ignore them, so to speak. Just schlep them along with you. Don't redo them and make sure everything is perfect. That's what he literally meant. It's like some people, when you start your car and the car says engine check, some people go straight to the mechanic. Other people say, "Far, far, kuknisht of the ferd. When the car breaks down, you'll worry about it. In the meantime, go. The car moves, you move. It doesn't have to be perfect. Don't start checking and examining." But in cars, it's actually not such a good idea. It's better to check your engine. I don't know if Rabbi Avram would mean it on cars, but then the horses, that's what he said. So Chassidim explained, this is a story is brought in Beis Rebbe. What did Alter Rebbe mean? He got a new path in the work of Hashem. So there's a story that a Jew, his name was Rabbi Yosef Chaim, he wrote a book called Toldos Chaim. He spent time in the home of the Halakha Shpala Zeder, Arya Leib of Shpala, who was a close friend of the Alter Rebbe, was older than him. And the story is told that he once saw the Shpala Zeder sweeping the floor of the ground, the floor of his house, meticulously. And the Shpala Zeder, he says, Rebbe, what are you doing? Why can't I do this for you? So he says, no, this is how you have to serve Hashem. You can't begin to serve Hashem if you don't sweep up the entire dirt. You have to get rid of every piece of dust, every piece of dirt, and then you can begin serving Hashem. Don't start engaging in goodness if you didn't get rid of the evil. Later, he was by the Alter Rebbe. He was also by the Alter Rebbe. He writes this in his book, and he told Alter Rebbe the story. Alter Rebbe said, I have a different philosophy. He said the story in the Gemara, the famous story, the argument of Masicht Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin. Kate said, V'rakten lifnei hakala. How do you dance before the bride? Beishamai says, what? Kala nova chasuda. I'm sorry. What do you dance? How do you dance before the bride? Beis Hillel says, kala nova chasuda. You dance and you say the kala. She's beautiful and charming. Beishamai says, no. Kala kamois shehi. Every bride you have to praise according to who she is. So Beis Hillel said, what happens if she's lame? What happens if, God forbid, she can't see, she's blind? What are you going to start saying? Sorry. Beis Shammai tells Beis Hillel, how do you say on every bride that she's beautiful and charming? What if she's not? HaTayra Amru Midvar Sheker Tirchuk, you're going to lie? You're going to lie? You can't do that. You have to find something nice about her, but you can't give this common denominator and say about every bride that she's beautiful and charming. It's a lie. So Beis Hillel says, and if somebody buys something from the market and then they ask you your opinion and you think it's disgusting and horrible, what should you say? It's horrible or beautiful? For sure you should say it's beautiful. So there are many interpretations. What is the meaning behind this argument? We once discussed this also in chapter 3. What Chassidus discusses, but Alter Rebbe brought out one beautiful idea. He says this also in Lekut HaTorah and Shir HaShirim. Kala is a bride, but the word Kala comes from Klois HaNefesh, the yearning of the Jewish soul. Beis Shammai says, Kala Kemois Shehi. Your yearning will always be commensurate with who you are as a person. If there's a lot of dirt in you, your yearning will be very incomplete. And that's why you have to first sweep up if you want to engage in goodness. That a Jew's mission is, you feel an inspiration, you feel a yearning, go on it. Add light in your life. Be productive. Add goodness in your life. Add inspiration in your life. There are many problems, there are many undealt with tensions, there are blemishes. That's true. Kala nova chasuda. You highlight the beauty and the charm and fly with it. Fill up your light with light, with your life with light, even before you swept it up completely. This is what Rabbi Avraham HaMalach, this is what he received from Avraham HaMalach. Go, don't look at the horses. You know we have a horse in you. You have a horse in you that's incomplete, that may produce very horse-like temptations. And you haven't yet rectified it. But you go, you continue going. Serve Hashem, learn, daven, help people, bring in spirituality to the world. Either there's still ugliness and dirt in you. Beis Shammai says, don't go anywhere. Beis Hillel says, go further. So here is again the same example of this difference. Levi is pure idealism. The Kayin, Hillel, represents dealing with a broken world. With a person who has a horse in him. A person who has a horse in him, you can't say, till you become completely human, don't serve Hashem. You'll die without serving Hashem. You don't get rid of your horse. Zakta Alter Rebbe, when Mashiach comes, HaKoyanim HaLevim. The Levim will become Koyanim. This is what Yecheskel teaches us. And Yecheskel himself personified that, as I mentioned. Yecheskel ben Buzi HaKoyan. So the Levim become Koyanim. Why? Because the world will be sublimated. Since the world will be sublimated, Koyrach's revolution could be materialized. Shammai's opinions can become a reality in Jewish life. And Korach can become the tzaddik atomer yifrach. Halayim tetiv sa'es. Kayin now is corrupt. Kayin was very high and therefore he fell very low because there was no bridge. There was no bridge between heaven and earth. Hevel created a bridge between heaven and earth. But when the whole world is ready to become heavenly, when heaven and earth kiss, Kayin is the way to go. And therefore only then will the Levium be superior to the Kayinim. But this explains to us that the Levi has a love that is deeper than the love of the Kayin. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
Reminds me of a joke. I didn't want to interrupt you while talking about a shotgun grieving a girl for a future husband, and he whispers, she's blind. He said, you don't have to whisper, she can't hear either.
You're a Levi. Your neighbor is a Kayan. Naftali is a Kayan. You're a Levi. Don't worry, I'm a Yisrael. We. I just want to tell you something. You said a true vart. In today's world, extremism, yeah, has no place. It has no place. It becomes corrupt. Any system that was extreme and rigid, they might have been true, but it becomes corrupt. Why is that? Because the rigidity in an incomplete world doesn't work. When Mashiach comes, all the extremists throughout history will find their place.
But right now, when you go to one extreme, it reverses.
Yeah.
So yes or no?
Yeah. That's what happens. You see, where is he? What's your name?
Peretz.
That's the reason I said last week, when Avraham HaMalach was going in heaven, the Alter Rebbe said, switch the tefillin. Switch it to him from Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam's. He didn't say, take off the tefillin. Because that would constitute a fall for Avraham HaMalach, and he wouldn't tolerate that. That would be just a fall into a dark world. You have to switch it to the Avodah of the Kohen, to Chachma, not to Bina.
Mm-hmm. And both times, she didn't know where we're coming from. Both times, it's the Rebbe stress that the person has to adhere to Taharas and Hashbacha. She'd love to know if there's a book out, and I'm not quite sure.
Can we do it after Myra? I'll tell you after Myra. Okay, you're going to daven? You just want to daven? 1 second. So your mother was a Levi? Your mother is a Levi. Well, this is, by the way, why Korach was swallowed up in the earth. The Levi goes to the highest place in heaven. But what happens to the Levi? He can fall down in the deepest part, he can fall to the lowest depth in the earth. And it's really dependent. When you go so high, you can fall so low because there's no bridge to connect you. So the abandoned garden can succumb to horrible corruption. In the aftermath of the Levi's Avoida, there can be a barren desert. Korach is beautiful. Korach is beautiful. But what happens to Korach is that the person who acts like Korach, Ratzoi, yeah, what happens is he ends up in the depth, in the pit. He ends up in the pit. He falls very low.
His kanoim isn't for the right purpose.
Because the gevura is great for itself, for the part that goes up, but for the part that stays behind, or if he comes back down, the gevura leaves in its aftermath negativity. Or it allows for negative elements to make their way in, to plant themselves in. It allows.
In the name of Kedusha, or
in the vacuum, it leaves a vacuum. The Kayin doesn't leave a vacuum. Chesed doesn't leave a vacuum. Chesed embraces. Gvura rejects. That which you rejected, experiences a vacuum. The vacuum allows negative elements to take root. The vacuum.
So my middle name is Shammai.
And your mother's a lady.
And my mother's a lady. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's very interesting.
So that's what he wants. What's he sacrificing? If he wants this love, so this doesn't lick to us. It's not a sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice my job for a love. It's a sacrifice.
Nay.
No,
it's a yid who has health issues. I just tell you, chodei loydek a yid.
No, but
no, you're talking about tests. Talking about tests.
If you say it's not sacrificing him, so you never could ask me.
No, but it's a yid who has an inyan with health. He's not feeling well, or he has an inyan with money, and he renounces it. He cares only about his relationship with the Eibishter.
I'm saying his bainus of Malkus. That's what I'm asking. What is his bainus from Malkus? What's Birchus Krishma going to do for him?
What Birchus Krishma is going to do is going to teach him two things. That the Eibishter is naturally alts, Alakus is alts.
It's not alt, Rabbi says.
Yeah, of course. Kaddish, that the whole union of Kaddish. It's the Chemshach, the Perek Memchas. Kaddish, the Eibishter is alts. Eidin Sof, was heißt alts? It is Eicha Chelik from the main Sof. Mamash alts. Yeah. Und afo bekehren, der Eberste sich weggelegt, gewayachel. Er hat sich mafke gewinnt, gewayachel. Er fühle in dem Ort, wo er ist, hat er gemacht, kilo, er ist dort nicht da. Für was? Weil Alvas Eilam aftano. Er hat mit Zahn der Av, hat er gemacht an Eilam. Und Bono bechert dem Kolam Lashon, so sein er guff. Was auf dem Malz, der Eberste sich gedacht, machen Eis, gewayachel. Eis, ich meine.
Gewalt gelu Atzmus. Gewalt Atzmus.
Ik wil niet zeggen dat we met Atmos. Ze heeft zich gewoon met de Adama tachten. En hij wil hebben naar jagers met dieren. Hij wil dat doen zoals ze gaan schapen met Atmos. Dit is het ene minst dat wil glad dat dieren. Hij wil hebben naar jagers met de tachten. He wants to get married to you. That's what he wants.
What did he sacrifice for that? What did he sacrifice for that?
His natural self.
In
which there's no you.
His natural self.
In which there's no you. In which there's no you. For you.
But isn't it greater than if I...
He abandoned his Ein Sof so that you should be able to exist in your own perception.
No.
But you need...
So that I shall inherit, although that I am I, that he is...
You should have a relationship with you.
So that's the epitome of his Ein Sof.
No, because he doesn't need the relationship.
He's
got... Sava Kodesh Baruch, he doesn't need the relationship. He doesn't have to get married. He can live on his own. Or mezen is talshut hakadinyan of marriage. Which is l'chura hepe chasechel. Bachim wat ingedaf blijven met bachim. Medelach met medelach. Nobody would get divorced ever. Yeah? Bachim don't have their moods and women have their moods. And shalom ha-yisrael. Megemach dafka hazeh. Now it's seichel because it's the system of the world and that's how you build a family. We know that. But as it is, be'etzem mitbe gewonnen. Why? Weil der Eber meibersten so sich, wenn er teiver, sich verbinden mit dem, ein anderes wir. Verkehrt wir. Der Eberste was a perfect. Perfect bache, kevayachl. Gelent him, getzmim him, gedavend, everything. Und noch gehalt Geld als. Leah Kesev, Leah Zov. But he wanted you. He wanted to get married. Stolz sich daven in Aida Hertes. For my existence this second, that Ed Alts Mafke gewann. So how am I going to respond? My very breathing right now. When I feel so good, when I have chayvus, when my checks balanced. Just trying to make it practical. Right now, I'm breathing. Why? He was mafka everything for a relationship with me. So how am I going to respond? The only thing that's negay is a relationship with him. Part of the relationship with him is that I have to cover my checks. But that's the dinyan. Try it out and let me know the results. I want to know how you do it, like Reb Nissen. There was a Jew whose name was Reb Chaim Yosef Mipistin, from a place called Piston. And he grew up many years in the home of the Halakha Shpala Zeder, Reb Aryeh Leib of Shpala, who saw the Baal Shem Tov, was a student of the Maggid, and was very close to the Alter Rebbe. Reb Chaim Yosef from Piston authored a book called Tosfos Chaim. It was printed in Lemberg, a Polish city, Lemberg, in the year Tofrei Shchav Gimel, which would be 1863. And in Parshas Korach, he tells this story about his conversation with the Shpala Zeide and his conversation with the Alter Rebbe. When the Alter Rebbe heard what the Shpala Zeide said, that a person has to first be a Sur Meira and then a Seitei, first he has to go away completely from evil, and then he can start bringing light into the world and doing good. And the Shpala Zeide said even more, that your doing good should only be commensurate with how much you abstained from evil, because if not, if you do good while there's still evil in you, you are actually producing thorns, you're nourishing the evil in you. He says, when I told this to the Alter Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe told me, this is the opinion of Bishamai. But Hillel had another opinion. That's how the Alter Rebbe said. Beis Shammai. Shammai comes from the word assessing. Everything must be assessed meticulously. Things have to have an order. Things have to be idealistic. This is the philosophy of Beis Shammai. But Hillel, which Hillel in Hebrew means brightness. Hillel in Hebrew is light, brightness. He believed that one flame can expel much darkness. And this is how the Alter Rebbe explained the Gemara in Ksuvos. Beis Shammai says, Kala kamois shehi. Your experience of Kala, your melting away, your ascending to godliness, can only be kamois shehi, can only be commensurate with who you are, with how deep you have purified yourself and removed negativity from you. Beis Hillel says, even a bride who apparently seems blind, she seems lame, still you could look at her and say, Kala Nava Chasuda, this is a beautiful and charming bride, which means you can look at yourself, and even though you're blemished, and there are defects, and there are problems, and there are tension, and there are wounds, and there is dirt, nonetheless you could say on yourself, this is a Kala Nava Chasuda, that your relationship with Hashem is beautiful. You could totally engage your life in idealism and melting away towards godliness, even though there's a lot of blemishes. The house is filled with darkness. Still, kindle a flame. And this is the perspective of Chesed, of Hillel, which is different than Shammai.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.